Welcome to WQCS.org. I'm Jenny Gould with another edition of Flora Days. When the Ku Klux Klan tried to stop a local church from having a funeral mass for a black parishioner in the 1940s, the pastor was unmoved. Father Michael Beerhalter had faced down threats from Nazis in Germany before moving to Fort Pierce in 1926. 2 decades later, at St. Anastasia Church, he was targeted by the Klan. Paul Driscoll was an altar boy at the time.
We had a black family that went to our church, Mr. Brown and his family. He owned a drugstore, and when he died, Father Beerhalter decided to bury him out of the church. The Ku Klux Klan sent a threat to him. He was familiar with strong-arm tactics, but wasn't going to be pushed around. I was chosen as one of the altar boys. I was a little bit afraid, but I figured if Father Beerhalter wasn't afraid, I wouldn't be. The day of the funeral, the church was packed with the white people from the town. I don't think there was a seat left. I looked around and I was so proud of my town that they came together in a situation like this. Now, when Life magazine heard about the Ku Klux Klan threat, they sent a crew to Fort Pierce. However, as far as I know, the Ku Klux Klan never appeared in any form or at any time.
Did you see the Life magazine crew?
No, I was only 14 then, so I wasn't out and around that much, but I definitely remember that they were here.
How did the Klan make its threat? Do you know?
No, I don't know. They passed it on to Father Beerhalter somehow.
Had the Klan surfaced ever before that you remember?
I don't ever remember seeing them march in Fort Pierce. I was born here in 1930. I know they were around because in 1965, I took over a large grove with a number of old houses in this county. And in one of the houses, there was a lot of Ku Klux Klan literature, pamphlets, books, their sort of thing. But I burned the old house down along with all the literature. I wish I'd have saved it so people would see what kind of people they were.
At that time, the Klan was opposed not only to blacks, but also to Catholics.
That's right. So that made it a double threat.
So how did Father Beerhalter handle the situation?
He went on, and it was a very normal process. He didn't let anything change. I don't remember any police officers around the church or anything of that sort. He just went ahead and did it like he'd do it for anybody that was a member of his church. The church was packed with white people, business people, who knew Mr. Brown. He was well-known and well-liked within the community.
Where was he buried?
You know, I don't know. I didn't go to the cemetery with Father.
Was the cemetery segregated at that time?
I'm sure it was. It would be on the west side of the cemetery that's on U.S. 1 north of town.
The west side? Is that where the black people were buried?
Yes, and had an area back there that where they were buried.
We're talking about Riverview Cemetery.
That's correct.
Mr. Brown ran a drugstore in the Lincoln Park area. He and his family were the only black Catholics in town, at least the only black members of St. Anastasia, as far as you know?
Yes, of course, that was the only Catholic church in town. There was 2 pews set aside for Mr. Brown and his family. One of the old-time parishioners asked Mr. Brown how he felt about having a pew set aside and being segregated. He said, "We're the only ones in church that have reserved pews."
There were no other reserved pews.
No, there wasn't. Although, if you went to 8 o'clock Mass, you know who was going to sit where. And if you went to 10 o'clock Mass, you know who was going to sit where, too.
You said that the church was packed with white people. Were there any blacks?
I don't remember seeing any. I don't think his family was there. They may have been frightened by the Ku Klux Klan threat. He was the only black man in church, as far as I know.
Paul Driscoll is retired from Citrus Management. For 88.9 FM, I'm Janie Gould.